Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Patience.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely. Great to have you here on the Adventist World Radio. We're talking about an amazing Bible prophecy, and we do hope that at the end of this lesson this afternoon that you're going to be giving us, we would have understood exactly what that is about. And those who are on the line, if you want to forward any questions to Patience, please do so on +27 7347035 20. Now, Patience, about 500 years before the birth of Christ, God gave the world a startling glimpse into the future through the prophet Daniel. He actually presented an outline of world history from Daniel's time to our own day. So please do outline for us the story of Daniel and the King Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Okay. So we find the story of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. Mm. And so what actually happens is that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 29, we pick up that King Nebuchadnezzar was actually sitting and wondering what would happen next. You know, I mean, as we all want to know the future, we want to know what's happening next, what's going to happen, where is the world going? So that's where Nebuchadnezzar's mind was at. So as he sleeps, he has this dream. He has a dream and he wakes up in the morning. When he wakes up in the morning, he does not remember his dream. So he calls the magicians, the astrologers, he calls the wise men of Babylon, and he says to them, explain to me what the dream is and also interpret the dream. And they tell him, I mean, no one has ever asked us to do that and no one can actually do that. It is better if you tell us the dream, then we give you the interpretation. Then he says, no, if you cannot tell me my dream and my interpretation, then all the wise men in Babylon are to be killed. So he takes out a decree and all the wise men are to be killed. And then the news reached to Daniel, and we know that Daniel was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. And so when the news reached to him, he says, okay, let me speak to the king. He speaks to the king and he says, allow me to go and pray to my God who's able to reveal all secrets, you know, and he's given that opportunity and he goes home, and the Lord being faithful, he reveals the dream to Daniel and also reveals the interpretation of the dream to Daniel. Then Daniel comes back to the king and actually tells the king his own dream. So that dream was about a statue. So the king saw a statue and the head of the statue was gold. The breast and arms were silver, the belly and the thighs were brass, and the legs were of iron. Then the feet were partly iron and partly clay. And as the king is looking at that, you know, huge, magnificent image that he's seeing, then a rock broke off with no man's hand. So it breaks out and then it hits the statue at the feet. So the feet of iron and clay. And then what happens is that everything just breaks immediately. It becomes pieces, and then the wind blows away all of that. And what happens after that, we see the rock, or rather the stone, it grows and grows, and it fills up the whole earth. So that's what Daniel, that's what the king saw. And the king was very impressed that, okay, this man has told me the dream. And then he was patiently waiting to hear what the interpretation of it was. Do you want me to go through the interpretation right now?
Yes, please, because we'd like to know about what was the interpretation, the meaning of the dream, and of course, how it affects our lives today.
Okay. So then Daniel then interprets the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. So he explains that the head, which is gold, represents Babylon, which is his kingdom. And we find that in Daniel chapter 2 as he starts interpreting the dream. And he says to him, the Lord God has given you the greatest empire. He says that the Lord has given you strength, power, and glory. And I think it was very fitting that Babylon was represented by gold, by fine gold, because we know the value of gold, right? So Babylon, as we know it, was a wealthy and was a very strong empire at that time. And then moving forward, then what Daniel was basically telling Nebuchadnezzar is that your kingdom is the one that is gold, and that is Babylon. And so then we have the breast and arms. Now, for the mere fact that the breast and arms are not gold, that should obviously mean something, right? And so we know that the breast and arms were silver, which represents the kingdom that was going to follow Babylon, which was the Medes and the Persians, right? And how do we know that? When we go to Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 to 28. We remember Belshazzar, who was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. who used the vessels of the Lord that were taken from Jerusalem. And then he was drinking, he was having a feast. And then there was a hand that was seen writing on the wall. We remember from verse 25, it said, "Mene, mene, tekel ufasim." Mm-hmm. And then Daniel again was called to come and interpret what that meant. And then it was said that it means that you have been weighed and found wanting, and the kingdom has been divided to the Medes and the Persians. So we know from that time that that's when Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon lost their reign. And so then from Babylon, we know that the kingdom that followed was the Medes and the Persians. And we find King Cyrus, who started to rule in 539 BC. Okay, so after that, then we see the belly and the thighs, which were brass. And then the belly and the thighs, which were brass, they represented the next kingdom that would follow, which was the kingdom of Greece. And we also find that in Daniel chapter 8. So you will notice that the vision that was seen in Daniel chapter 2, in Daniel chapter 8, and in Daniel chapter 7, it's the same dream. You know, it represents kingdoms that are supposed to follow each other. However, Daniel is seeing them in different ways. You know, in chapter 2, he's seeing the statue. Chapter 7, he's seeing the beast. And then in chapter 8, he's seeing the ram, and he's also seeing the gold. So when you follow the order, then we know that the brass was Greece. And we get that from Daniel chapter 8, where mm-hmm. we see that immediately after the Medes and the Persians, we see Alexander the Great, who then conquered the Medes and the Persians. So we see that the gold was Babylon, the silver was the Medes and the Persians, the brass was Greece. And I think God was very intentional when he was using the symbols within the statue. You know, he could have chosen to say the head could be pink or purple mm-hmm. or red, but then he uses gold and then he uses silver, because remember, gold is more valuable than silver, you know. So that meant that at that time, Babylon was such a powerful and it was such a strong empire. Mm. And then silver is a little inferior than gold. And we also get that in the Bible, that the kingdom that was supposed to come after Babylon was an inferior kingdom, but then Babylon was conquered. So we see Babylon, we see the Medo-Persia, and then we see Greece. And then after that, the legs, we are told that they were iron. And we know that iron would smash and crush anything. Mm. And then when we follow the history, we know that the kingdom that follows Greek, when Alexander dies, then, you know, the four generals come up, and then the kingdom is divided, and then they're eventually conquered by Rome. So Rome becomes our fourth great empire. Mm-hmm. And we know during the time when Jesus was born, the ruler of the Roman Empire at that time was Caesar Augustus, right? Mm. And we can get that from the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 1. So it is also important to understand that the Bible explains itself, which is why maybe I'm saying a lot of verses, but then everything within the prophecy, the Bible literally explains. So we get that in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And we also come to understand that Jesus and his disciples lived during the phase of the iron legs. Right. Mm. And then we get to the part where we have the feet, which are partly iron and partly clay. Yep. Now, we know that iron and clay cannot mix. So that meant that the kingdom that would follow will not be united. But it's very important to understand that it was not an introduction of the fifth kingdom. Mm. It meant that the legs, which is Rome, would be a divided kingdom. Okay. Mm. So we know that Rome was represented by iron, but yep. then we find the feet, iron and clay. That means Rome would later become divided into 10 kingdoms. We say 10 kingdoms because the feet had 10 toes, right? Mm. And so it was divided, I'll just tell you now. Yep. So it was divided into 10 kingdoms, and today in the later days, we know these kingdoms as, you know, the nations are England, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, we have Switzerland, we have Portugal. Mm. So those are some of the kingdoms that we now know in the later days, those that are now in the Europe, you know, Europe today. So then what happens is that we need to be mindful and see that all of those that was mentioned, it has already happened. We've seen Babylon, we've seen Medo-Persia, we've seen Greece, and we've seen the Roman Empire. We've also seen the Roman Empire being separated, and they can never be united. So if you go back to history, you will see that there are actually people who tried to come and unite the European nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Napoleon, who came and then he tried to unite the divided Europe, but then he failed. And when he was dying in the battlefield of it is mentioned that he actually said, God Almighty is too much for me, right?
Yep.
Because he was in this quest of uniting the kingdom. But then remember Daniel in his revelation said that the kingdoms will be divided.
Mm.
And then later on, we see Adolf Hitler, who was also in the quest of uniting the European nations, but then he also failed. So we know that now we are living in that area where the kingdom can never be united again. So we are living in that division. And so tracing back then, you know that all of those things have happened.
Mm.
You know, we have seen Babylon, we've seen Medo-Persia, we've seen Greece, we've seen Rome, and now we are here. So there's only one thing that has not been fulfilled.
Mm.
Remember, there was a rock that broke and then it came and hit the feet. So that is the only thing that has not been fulfilled right now. So to understand that, we understand that Daniel explains that the rock in verse 44, Daniel chapter 2, he says that the rock represents the kingdom of Jesus Christ that would come. Now, it's very important that it is not cut off by human's hand, because the kingdom of God is established by God himself. You understand? He does not need anyone to establish his kingdom, but he himself establishes it. So he comes and he destroys the statue, meaning he comes and he destroys all of these kingdoms that have ever existed, and then his kingdom will grow, his kingdom will then will rule forever and ever. So what does this mean to us, and or what impact does this have to us? I think when I began speaking, I did mention that we all want to know what the future tells. We all want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. So living in a world where we see everything just falling apart, you know, it's wars here and there, it's people dying, it's death, it's misery, it's hunger. People are living painful lives, and we ask ourselves, where is this going?
Mm.
How is the world going to end? But in this prophecy is actually a prophecy that gives us hope. It is a prophecy that tells us of the end time. So it's a prophecy that tells us that, firstly, it tells us about how God does not change and how God is all-knowing.
Yep.
Because this is a prophecy that was given 2,500 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we see all of those things happening. So you know that God doesn't change and God is faithful and he knows the future. And we also know that we can trust him. If Daniel saw all of those things, and Daniel doesn't exist right now, but those things are being fulfilled, then we know that God can be trusted because God knows the future. And it also gives us hope because we know that the kingdom of God is coming, and the kingdom of God is not going to be those earthly kingdoms where there is death, where we have to pay taxes, where we have to suffer and struggle, and we have to go through sorrows and tribulations. But the kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of happiness. You know, when you read Revelation chapter 21, where John sees the new heaven and the new earth, he says there's no pain, there's no crying, there's no sorrow,
yep.
there's no death. He says all of those things would pass away. They will pass away. So it's a prophecy that gives us hope. It's a process. It's a prophecy where we just look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So all of those things have been fulfilled except one, the rock that comes, which is the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
And so is the rock the last one to be fulfilled?
Yes, it is the last one to be fulfilled, because nothing happens after the death. So the rock hits the statue, it grows and grows, and then the kingdom lasts forever and ever.
Mm. Now, it seems that these other stages happened within a relatively understandable time. It looks like we've been waiting for the rock forever. Is it still going to come?
Yes, it is still going to come. Yes, I think yesterday we mentioned that God is long-suffering, right? He's waiting for people to repent. He's waiting for us to all come into the knowledge of knowing him. You know, Jesus is not going to come as a surprise and then people are like, what's happening? Everyone will have knowledge that there is a kingdom that is coming. So until that time, you know, when everyone now knows, when the gospel is now a witness to all nations, kindreds, and tongues, then his kingdom shall come. So the fact that we have seen all of these kingdoms come to pass, we can surely trust him.
Mm.
We saw Babylon, we saw Greece, we saw Alexandria. So you can even go back to history and study those things. Those things are there, those things happened. So if we've seen all of those four kingdoms come, how can we not trust the fact that the last kingdom to be established? How can we not trust that Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom?
Oh yeah.
So past, you know, the past and history tells us that for sure we can trust him and trust that he's coming.
Ah, fantastic, lovely patience. I do want to thank you so much for your time coming through here on AWR and actually giving us these very, very valuable lessons. You are definitely, you know, calling us to paying attention and knowing that indeed his coming is imminent. And as all the prophecies have been fulfilled, he shall actually be fulfilling everything that has not been fulfilled. Thank you so much for your time. Blessings to you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.